I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Vic and Em's Comedy Gems. My name's Vicky Hanlon.
And I'm Emily Tressiter. Vic and Em's Comedy Gems.
Please don't.
Okay. Hello and welcome to another episode of Vic and Em's Comedy Gems. Hello, Vicky Hanlon.
Hello, Emily Tressiter.
It's me, Emily Tressiter.
Yes, yay.
We, for the second wonderful time, have one of our favourite gems.
Oh.
The beautiful.
I love her so
the
much.
The hilarious.
Yeah.
Arielle Conversi.
Yay.
Hello.
Thanks for having me back.
Anytime.
Thank you so much for being on. Man, we had a ball last time you were on the podcast. We spoke about the stuff you'd been doing in Australia. We spoke about weird... I don't even remember, to be honest. Getting sick. I can't fully remember, but...
Typhoid Mary of Adelaide, yeah. Unreturned.
Because this is a sort of a repeat... I don't want to say a repeat guest because it makes you seem like you're not important or whatever. But because you've already been on the
pod. What an intro.
I was thinking maybe we could do something a little bit different.
I love it.
This episode. Maybe we could dive into some stories from our previous selves.
Ooh.
Maybe
like past lives? Or?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. I would love to know about your past lives.
No. A psychic told me I was Cleopatra.
So. Really?
Really?
No, wow. Absolutely not.
Someone may, okay, before we go into this, someone sure. The other night we were having a conversation and they were like, okay, so women have it worse off in the patriarchal system, right? It's just the way
I don't know.
You know, but so like,
big call.
Does that mean that in our past life, like we're being punished, right? So in our
past life, we were all shit men.
And so now we've become women.
What kind of man though? Like a shit man as in like... bad at being a man?
No.
Like cruel. Killed people.
Yeah. Well, maybe not that harsh, but like maybe.
Maybe.
But you like, think if you were someone that like killed people, you'd probably become like...
I don't know, man. That is...
a butterfly or something.
Why do they get to be a graceful, beautiful butterfly?
They only live for 2 days.
And well, then it's a short life, like, and then you get another one.
Then you go to like a turtle.
Okay.
Turtles are really cool. You don't go to a turtle. No one like, bad goes to a turtle.
Yeah, turtles
but like, yeah, does that... So in our previous lives, we were like... averagey shitty men.
What? So like businessmen?
Sure.
Yeah, businessmen who like...
who took money. And we were Robin Hood.
Nah. You know, make weird comments at their female employees.
Right. Yeah. We were the sex pests of our workplace.
Yeah.
Talk right. To, like they go to like the strippers and they'll like talk to a dancer for ages. And
yeah. Not and give not her give her any money. Yeah.
You know? And then she's like, God damn it. This was a...
what a waste of time.
What a waste of my fucking time. I'm at work. I need to be making money. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if...
that's,
so those,
I like the idea of that. But it's also vaguely victim blaming to me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't think much more on this.
Yeah, no, I think it's very funny
I'm not
though.
Even sure if it's vaguely.
No, it's funny, yeah, I guess maybe beyond.
Very explicitly.
Yeah.
Yeah, quite
no,
explicitly.
You're right.
Oh, you're in a position where you don't have very much power. That is 100%
that's because
your fault.
Maybe in your past life you shouldn't have been such a shithead. What?
I know you joked about someone, a psychic, telling you you're Cleopatra in a past life, but I actually got told, well, my mum got told by a psychic that we were both American Indians in a past life.
Oh,
does that
God.
Give you permission to wear headdresses to rainbow serpent?
Absolutely not.
Does that still happen? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think that like, I mean, I'm never going to claim like ancestry.
You should.
I'm actually 12% Cherokee. So.
But I think the point was that the psychic was trying to tell my mum that like we've been together for many past lives, so it wasn't
physical. Right.
And that was just like she was scrambling for think of ideas of like what was a long time ago.
Yeah.
What was a long time ago and seemed like they all cared about each other.
Yeah.
Native Americans.
Yeah. But yeah, no, not past lives. I was thinking maybe we could chuck in some stories from our childhood.
Okay.
So that our listeners can get a little bit of a, you know, insight into who we are as people.
Awesome.
Because they obviously know us all a little bit now. You've been on twice now, Ariel. So, like, you know.
Totally. I love this idea.
Yeah. Well, I can start us off.
Okay,
because
good. Because now I'm going to have to try and remember my childhood. So.
Yes. I had this idea. And so I thought I would start us rolling.
Yeah.
So basically when I was, let me set the scene for you.
Okay.
When I was young, let's say 7 or 8 years old.
Sure.
I went on a bit of a bushwalk with my mum and her boyfriend at the time.
Sure.
Great.
And during this bushwalk, I was, you know, doing the do, being a child, like running around. And it was on like a dirt path in Kangaroo Valley. And you had to like walk along like the side of a cliff kind of thing. But like on a dirt gravel.
Where is Kangaroo Valley?
New South Wales. Okay. It's like towards the Blue Mountains.
Okay.
Cool. Maybe even in the Blue Mountains. I'm not really sure.
I cannot be bothered fact checking you.
Yeah. It's New South Wales.
Right.
And so we were walking along and I was like doing my thing. And then all of a sudden I trip and I fall off the side.
Oh my God.
Fucking,
what?
Yes. So I
you've fall. Actually been dead for.
This is the thing.
And
this,
the God. Oh my God.
I feel like you should have told me this before now.
Yeah.
You're a ghost.
That you're a ghost. Yeah.
Hasn't
been Emily Dressler in these parts for 25 years.
I fell off. And I like sort of like fell over the edge of this path.
Oh my God.
And then I fall for like meters and meters. I want to say like 100 meters, right? But like maybe let's be honest, like 50 meters, right? Like I fall for
even
a long
50
time.
Meters is so that's far.
Still a really like I can't be fucked walking 50 meters sometimes for like things I need. Just like I'll be hungry.
Yeah. So I am falling like feels like a whole lifetime of falling,
sure.
Right? And I fall into this like huge banana leaf. Like they're like big like sort of clawy plants that are like really long leafed and like they'll probably like double my size. This banana leaf is probably like double my size. And I fell into the middle of it and like ripped its roots out a bit and it stopped me from falling, right?
Holy shit.
Yeah.
A plant saved your life.
Yes, a plant saved my life.
It sacrificed itself for
you. Yes. And then
did you replant it?
Pardon?
Did you replant?
No, because I was like fucking panicked.
Yeah,
I was
sure.
Like, this is how I die.
All right. Yeah, blame
so then my mom was like
it.
Screaming and she was like so overwhelmed and like it was really bad. And then they had to like get the park ranger to like come and like pull me out of this banana leaf.
Oh my
the fuck?
God.
Yes. It was like so traumatizing. And I feel like it's like one of those things that like I'm like, wow.
Has formed you as a person?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think it makes you make more sense.
Yes. So what I was thinking... it's why I'm such a green thumb. I'm not.
That plant's life energy went right into you.
What I was thinking is like, just because, you know how like sometimes I get this feeling like when you're a kid, right?
Yeah.
And you go to school, you're like, holy shit, the gates of my school are so big.
Yeah.
And they're huge.
Yeah.
And everything is so big. And then you go back as an adult and you look at the gates and you're like, that is a child lock.
Yeah. Yep.
Like that is not big at all. So that is what I believe happened the day that I almost died, right?
Totally.
But I think maybe a fun thing to do would be maybe call Natalie Tressiter, my mom.
Previous guest, sort of.
Natalie Tressiter, and see if she has like a different version of events.
Oh, I'm very keen
because
to hear.
Have you prepped her? Do you know what's coming?
Yeah, she does know what's coming.
Okay, good.
I'm just going to give her a little call. Hopefully she'll answer. She's on
a
trip to Kangaroo Valley.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yes. My God.
She'll revisit the scene of the crime.
Yeah. Oh, it's ringing. The pressure's on, Mum.
Come on, Natalie.
Come on. You can do it. She said she might be driving. Oh, my gosh. Hello. Welcome to Vic and Em's Comedy Gems.
Hello.
Hi, Natalie.
We have guest Ariel Conversi from America.
Hello.
Hi. Nice to talk to you.
You as well.
She's very good at this. She's very professional.
She is. I love it.
Mum, I just told them the story about how I almost died at Kangaroo Valley.
Died.
So
already finding discrepancies.
So basically what I was thinking you could do is just tell them the story of what happened that day when we went on that walk.
What happened?
Yeah.
Well, it had been raining lots.
She's setting the scene better than I did. Yep, the track was slippery.
The track was a bit slippery. And I don't know how old you were, maybe 7 or 8?
Oh, I said that. I got that right.
Oh, there you go. And you slipped down a little bit of the mountainside, and a bird's nest fern caught you, and you were like in the middle of the nest.
But how far are we talking?
Oh, at least maybe 2 meters.
That's amazing.
Maybe it seemed a long way down if you were in the middle, but yeah, about 2 meters.
And then
we had to climb down a little bit to get you and drag you back up.
Didn't you get the ranger or something?
No.
Oh my god, I love this.
Ranger look, I don't remember a ranger. It just seemed like something a ranger would have to rescue me from.
She told us that she fell like 50 meters down a cliff.
Yeah, no. She didn't break any bones, but she did have a leech on her when we got back that night. We did had to burn a leech off a leg.
It was pretty
strong. You buried the fucking leech. Oh my god.
You forgot the leech bit and thought that you'd fallen 20 meters instead.
Yeah.
50.
50.
If it was 20, maybe just added a zero, but it was about 2 meters.
All right, so you just saved me, Ma.
Yeah, that's it. I just climbed down a little bit and put it back up the hill.
You just held your hand out for a little bit.
Scrambled.
And dragged it back up. But I did have to get the leech off of that night.
Okay. Bless you, Mum. You're the best.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, Mum, I'll call you back after the pod, but thanks for fact-checking.
Sorry, did I say the wrong thing then?
No, it was perfect.
It was perfect.
Literally perfect. All right, love you, Mum.
Bye.
Bye, love you, bye.
That's amazing. That is so funny.
Oh, I love it.
Because you genuinely had me going.
Yeah.
That you also, it wasn't a banana leaf. It was a bird's nest.
Yeah.
Whatever the fuck
that is. It's what I thought it was. So it's like really long leafed. For some reason, I thought it was a banana, but it was.
That's basically incredible.
The same thing. But yeah, it's the reason that I said that and called my mom is because she is at the place that we went to.
Yeah.
And so I said that to her on the phone the other day. I was like, oh my God, can you believe?
I'm just showing them a picture of a bird's nest fern. And it's fern that like...
It looks like something that like I, like growing up watching Fern Gully.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
I would look at it and go, I wish I could sleep in that.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like a beautiful, definitely
like,
that
big kinda... wide leaves, very green, kind of lush looking.
And they're all sprouting outwards. So you can like sleep in the middle of it or fall into the middle of it.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so she was going there. So when I was on the phone to her, I was like, oh, remember that time? And I like explained to her the story that I just told you. And she was like,
none of that is correct.
Yeah, but I do think it's...
None of those facts are anything close to what happened.
Well, I was so seven good. Or eight.
Yeah, you did get that right. You did get your age roughly right.
I think it's crazy that... Because seriously, I hold that as a moment where I feared for my life.
Sure.
Yeah,
but that's one of those moments when you're like, oh, you know, has your life ever flushed before your eyes? That's one of those moments where I'm like, yeah, I almost fell off this cliff.
Definitely.
It was only 2 meters, but for me, it was like a lifetime.
Yeah. No, I've got one. Something similar to that happened to me. I got lost. Like, I was in St. Louis visiting my grandparents. I think I was there for like my uncle's wedding. And it was like me and my younger sister and our cousins. And kind of in the backyard, there was like a creek that ran through the neighborhood.
Yep.
And I remember we went down walking through this creek. And we just started walking, and then we just kept walking, and then we didn't know where we were.
Oh, and no.
In my head, we were lost for like
days.
9 hours.
Yes.
Yeah.
And like they sent out, like they were like freaked out, like all six of our kids have all just gone missing together. Shit. And like parents are freaking out, and we're like just wandering through like, but we were still in a neighborhood, and I remember we just like stumbled out through somebody's backyard onto the road, and we're like, oh fuck, we don't know what road we're on. We don't know where we are. And then we just like turned around and walked back down the road in the other direction, and we ended up getting home, and they were all concerned, but in my head we were gone for ages. And I remember bringing it up with my parents, and they were like, yeah, you guys were gone for like 2 hours, 3 hours. And I was like, I thought it was at least half a day. And they were like, no. There would have been helicopters if you guys had been gone for 9 hours. No, it was fine.
Aww.
But yeah, when you're a kid, it just
the it's perception, so funny. Totally.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. And I was gonna
say mine's not from childhood. I was 22 or 3 when this happened.
Childhood,
but you know, childhood.
Yeah.
When I went to the States for a holiday, and I visited the Grand Canyon.
Mm.
And
did you fall into the Grand Canyon?
And
was there a bird's eye? What was it? Birds of paradise.
Birds
tree?
Nest.
Oh, yeah, that's
Fern.
Right.
Fern. It's your life or death situation, Evan.
So we, like, my boyfriend at the time and I were, like, walking. It was really snowy and icy everywhere. Like, it was in the middle of winter and, like, where there's, like, plants and trees and stuff like that, it was fine. But on all of the walkways, it was quite icy. Great. Really good.
What you need.
What you want.
And we were walking down to, like, a lookout point, and there's a bunch of steps going down there. And he walks down first. He's fine. And there's, like, a couple of dudes walking towards me. And I start walking down the steps, and all of a sudden I slip and go flying straight towards, like, where the bars are to, like, so I'm
wrapped.
Yeah. I literally have, like, my life flashing before my eyes. All I can see is me just going, oh, those bars are not going to stop me. I'm going straight into the Grand Canyon, and I'm falling down these stairs. And all of a sudden, this one guy who was, like, walking towards me springs out and just grabs me out of midair.
Oh, my God.
And just, like, grabs me and saves me.
What a
me.
Hero.
And I was just like...
Did you kiss him? Are you guys married now?
Yes.
Yeah. That's my husband. I have a lovely Spanish husband. Did you see that? This Spanish tourist guy.
Yeah, you could do worse.
I know, right? But, yeah, like, if that random Spanish guy that I do not know who he is...
If you're listening,
if you remember saving a life.
If you remember saving... Like, genuinely, because... Like, at the very least...
And it's all icy. You would have just picked up speed as you went.
at the very, very least, I would have smashed my face to bits on, like, a railing or something like that. That is what was going to happen at the very least.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario, I literally would have fallen into the Grand Canyon.
Holy shit.
Has that happened?
Without
a doubt. Without a doubt.
They just, like... What are you going to do? Lift you out or something, or you die?
You die.
I reckon.
It's hundreds of feet.
Yeah.
Oh, is
it's
it?
Maybe so thousands.
It's pretty grand.
So. Oh, my God.
It's. I don't know if you've heard. It's pretty big.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'll let you
in. I mean, I've heard rumors, but I'm like, come on. Someone's going to fact check that.
Spoiler alert. Grand Canyon, pretty fucking big.
Pretty big. Yeah, I reckon. Yeah.
That is insane. So what did your boyfriend do? Was he like, oh, babe? Or like, he just didn't even see it?
He didn't see it. Well, he saw a Spanish guy holding me.
Get your hands off my girl!
But, like, he didn't see it happen or anything
nuts.
Like that. Hang on. I've got a photo of me standing at the railing after this all happened. This is a photo of me,
that netting would have stopped you.
Maybe.
Yeah, probably. Come off it.
Maybe. That's-
Come
See,
off.
In my head, it was
just one single bar.
Yeah,
it like,
was
through
just
it.
Like it was
Think
like
about
two
how
bars.
Far, like I'm like up here.
Maybe you would have caught air and just like slipped right through.
Falling, yeah,
slipped right through that top bit of that photo where there's, where
but,
there's
yeah.
space.
This is the, like I could have.
Fuck, that's hectic.
Yeah.
I really love that though. There's something really beautiful about when you're traveling, when like something goes awry or like you just know that. Like a fellow traveler is having a bad time.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It doesn't matter where you're from, how long you've been traveling, like who they are. You're just like, let me just catch you before you fall.
Before
you know
you
what
die.
I mean?
I'm going to stop you from dying.
Yeah. The same when I was climbing the Great Wall of China. Mm-hmm. Also pretty big. don't want to. No, spoiler alert. Pretty big.
Yeah.
All of these great things are quite big.
Mm.
And I was climbing it and I was dying. Like, absolutely. Like, I was like, I'm dead. This is it. Like, I can't take another step.
Yeah.
And, like, I wanted to get to the top
I'm
so
quite
bad.
I'm familiar with that
yeah.
feeling. But I couldn't. Like, I just was like, I'm fucked. Like, I actually just...
Like, I have to live here.
Yeah,
on
this
the
is
grave.
Where
yeah,
I
this
live
is where
now.
I live.
Or at least take a pause for, like, 40 minutes and then maybe walk back down.
Yeah.
Like, I can't... Definitely
I'm
can't
not
go.
Going any further.
Yeah. And then there was this couple of like Russian like school kids, I would imagine,
right.
or like high school kids, ew. And yeah, exactly, like Russian high school kids. I was like, not really
high school
my...
kids
it's,
at all.
It's, for me, it's just the high school
yeah.
part. Like the
I don't
Russian,
care. Russian, whatever.
It, but,
high school kids. Ugh.
Well,
no,
yeah,
thank you.
But I would also imagine. I don't know. There's just something scary. I'm like the way they speak, the
yes.
way they were speaking
oh,
to each other.
It's because we grew up in the 80s and 90s when we all the bad guys in movies
yeah,
were Russian.
Yeah, well, that's yeah. probably it, actually.
Yeah.
But they were so wonderful. they were like, come on, you can do it. Like, let's go. Like, let's go.
In Aussie accents, yeah. Come on.
I wasn't going to do an accent.
Now do it.
No.
it's not racist. Russians are white.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, and they were just so lovely. So I think there's something like really beautiful about how when you're in a foreign place, like everyone kind of bands together because you're all tourists together.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. It's that weird thing that like you when Aussies go to London and they all
band together.
Yeah, they all just stay together and I'm like, maybe go meet some other people. I found a guy from Sydney. He's great.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, so I live in San Diego, which is just near, just like just south of LA. And Facebook keeps trying to like add me. They suggest like the groups you should join.
Yeah.
And they keep, because I've got so many friends in at this point. It's like the Australians living in LA.
Sure.
Group. They're like, this is your people. And I'm like, it isn't, but it is, but it is.
I understand what you're going for. Like,
I get why you would think that maybe it is. But yeah, it keeps trying to add me to the Australians. But there's like 50,000 people in that group. It's a fucking massive group.
Yeah, there's a massive New York one as well.
Yeah, there's a big New York one as well. I've seen that.
That's crazy.
It's ridiculous, yeah. But yeah, Australians are good at just all kind of finding each other and just like globbing.
They're like,
in that photo that I just showed you, I'm wearing a t-shirt from my university. Just on holiday in America, I'm just wearing my t-shirt from my university. And I actually had someone stop me that day and go, oh my God, I went there too. That's and I was so like, well, I'm funny. Never wearing this again.
Yeah.
And I did not.
There are also like hostels around the world that are like Australian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like not Australian run or whatever, but like, you know that if you go to this hostel in Prague, that will be 80% Australians. Yeah.
The generator in London.
Unspoken or spoken rule.
The generator in London.
Or anywhere in Shepherd's Bush in London.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that's Australia.
That's exactly it. That's Australia.
That's a little mini Australia. They've got Australia. You can get Vegemite there. Like shit is Australian.
Yep. It's Australia. No, it's so funny. Oh, it's so funny. No, I love that a little bit, but I also like, because like now it's at the moment, like almost anywhere I go, I can find somebody in a town that I've like met through a fringe festival or I've met through some kind of like thing. Mm. And I'm like excited for that on like one hand. I'm like, fuck yeah, this is great. Like I never have to worry about being lonely anymore.
Yeah.
and then I'm like, oh, but we're just going to do fucking bullshit comedy arts things. And then sometimes I'll be like, oh, I didn't know you were here. And just like try to avoid people.
Anyway, bye.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a weird place to be in.
Yeah.
I guess because the chats, it's the same when you're like touring.
Yep.
The chats are always the same.
Yep. Festival
chat.
Which
is so boring.
How's your show going?
How's your show?
Yeah,
how's
like
show?
I don't want to say it out loud one more time.
It's fucked.
I was going to be like, how many times can I tell you I crashed?
Yeah. My standard answer is, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
And that's no elaboration
it's funny because people just want literally the chance to talk about whatever's happening to them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well just when like, they don't ask worry that about question. Me. So you're just like, yeah, not good. And they go, oh, great. Well, thing about my festival is they want to like launch into like whatever's happening.
That's 100%. It's a funny thing about the human condition because like at the, well, like when I was planning the trip that I'm currently on, people would ask me all the time, like, where are you going? And a beautiful question. And I love that. Like, thanks for being interested. But after I've said it like 100 times.
Eyes just are like glazing over.
Yeah. I'm like, all right, let me fucking list it for you. And it's so mean because I'm like, they're just a genuinely interested party asking a very
obvious question.
A normal question to ask when you hear a friend is going on a trip.
Yeah, it's kind of like
this happened to me. Not long ago.
Yeah. It's kind of like online dating as well, I think, where it's just so boring because you're like, how many times do I have to tell you where I live, what I do?
I've literally deleted all of my apps.
Oh, yeah.
I'm done.
It's always a thought where you're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to try it. And you just are like, ugh, can we just get to the part where we fucking like each other? Like,
exactly.
Jesus Christ.
And
I'm fine. Here's where I'm going to be. Let's have coffee. Like, I'm not dealing with it. I don't want to communicate with you anymore. It's a public place, so you can't murder me. Let's just get this done.
Yeah. I think that's the way to do it. Because, like, all of that small talk, it just gets, like, literally annoying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're like, don't ask.
It feels
don't.
Like a chore.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely.
It. Yeah.
Totally.
I genuinely don't have time for this.
Yeah.
So
well, that's true, too.
Yeah.
Now, Ariel, you live in San Diego, did you say? Did you say? I mean, you did say that.
I did say
I remembered it. I just wanted to sound like nonchalant about it. And so you obviously are traveling a lot.
Yeah.
But You do gig lots at home as well? Or?
Yeah, I gig some at home. Comedy in San Diego is a bit quiet just because we're so close to LA. I think people kind
How
of do...
How long does it take to drive up there?
It's about 2 hours.
Right. So people just...
Yeah. That and like as soon as people like start feeling good about what they're doing...
They'll
as
take
far as comedy,
LA.
They're just like, I'm moving. Smoke.
Yeah.
Right.
It is like, whether or not they should is another question. A lot of them
yeah.
just like, fuck,
I mean,
right off to
there's
LA.
A lot of people right. that turn up in Melbourne and you're like... Why?
Why'd you come here? Why? Yeah. No. So, and then 6 months later, they come back, tail between their legs,
yeah.
and just go back to working in an insurance office or whatever.
Sure.
But, yeah. So it's a bit quiet, but I've been doing more drag in San Diego. Yeah.
And
more.
What drew you to drag?
I was literally about to.
Yeah.
I wanted to know.
So I used to run a gig in a little bar in Hillcrest called Number One on Fifth. It's kind of like a little divey, like neighborhood gay bar.
Mm-hmm.
Really great, really fun. I used to run a show with a couple other comedians and we ran that for a while and we did a like gender bender, like we would try to theme the shows mm-hmm. a bit
yeah.
When we could, and we did, it was only once a month, and we did a gender bender like drag
nice.
Stand-up night
mm-hmm.
and so we had a handful of like local like San Diego drag queens come and do stand-up
mm-hmm.
And then, so like, and there was a lot of queens who were like, I want to try stand up, but I'm not comfortable just like going to an open mic, but
yeah.
I want to do it in drag.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't want to just like rock up to some bar with all these like 22-year-old shitheads
yeah.
being like, what's happening?
There is one comedian in Melbourne at the moment
yes.
who just is just a comedian, but does it in drag. And
yes.
He is delightful.
Yeah. That's I've been like kind of following that a little bit.
Yeah.
Been,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I love this.
Yeah.
I love everything about this. But, yeah, so we did that, and we had a handful of like drag, like proper drag queens doing stand up. Some of them for the first time, and then we had actual comedians, but everyone had to be in drag, and
great.
So it was like trashy bad drag for the first time.
Right,
and I did boy drag.
Yeah,
and I like made like a whole character and did this whole thing, and looked alarmingly like my father.
Oh no.
Which was weird. It was funny, like my mom would always be like, you know, you look so much like your dad or whatever, and I'd be like, I think I look like you, and she's like, you look like me, but you also like, I can see your dad, and I'd be like, I can't see it.
Yeah.
And then I like drew on like a mustache and like contoured out and like,
oh,
and
God.
I was like, oh fuck, there it is. It was so weird. But I did like a stripping thing, like a boylesque
okay
great.
Like thing, and basically I had like the character's name was Mike Latouris, and and
I love it.
It was like the story was he was like a washed up like former member of the Backstreet Boys, but also former member of like LFO, and also former member of, and the joke was that he just like kept getting kicked out of all of these boy bands back in the 90s for like fucking his way through the band, and that like Lance Bass was like, this class is not big enough for two of us, and like shit like that, and then
right.
was like, but now I work in Vegas like off the strip, and I'm a stripper because
nice.
I strip to boy bands music, and so I made like a mashup of like a bunch of songs.
Sick.
And then just like got like a tan like leotard and like used contour makeup to draw on like abs.
Yeah, great. Perfect.
Put a sock in for a dick and
yep.
just, you know,
there
got,
you are.
Got naked on stage basically.
Love that.
And it was very fun. But then after that I was like, it was something about it like kind of did something. I was like, ooh, this is more, way more exciting than just doing like regular stand-up.
Yeah, doing like a character-y sort of thing.
Yeah, or? Doing anything that wasn't just regular stand-up.
Sure.
Because like I tried the clown school thing.
Yep.
And nearly had a fucking emotional breakdown
yeah,
over
sure.
it.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah.
yeah
it happens.
I've heard clowning can
oh,
induce
boy.
That.
Yeah, but I also, and I love clowning. I love seeing clown stuff. And I've got so many friends who have like gone to the Coq or gone to Gallier. And I'm like, and I think about it and I'm like, maybe that's what I need. Like, I feel like I need something else. I know maybe that's what I'll just go. And then I did a clown course with Dr. Brown in LA for like
yeah.
8 weeks.
Like a great.
Which was, I was like, if this goes well,
yeah.
I'm moving to Paris. Like, that was like my
sure.
It's like, this goes well, I'm fucking off to Paris for 2 years. My boyfriend was like, wait, what?
Like, he's like, don't make it
he's
go
like,
well.
Are you serious? And I was like, yeah, maybe. And he's like, all right, I guess. And, can we do that? And I'm like, well, we'll figure it out. He's like, what am I going to do? And I'm like, I don't know. You fucking come as well. And he's like, I don't want to go to clown school. I'm like, no, it sounds like that fucking sucks then, doesn't it? We're going. And he was like, okay. And then
he's got transferable skills to Paris.
Yeah,
come
yeah,
on.
Exactly. He's like, I work in a brewery. I
yeah.
don't need to go to clown school. I'm happy. And I'm like, no. And then I hated it so much.
Yeah.
And so clowning wasn't the answer. But yeah, doing drag and like doing. But I don't like presenting masculine. It's not very exciting. It's not very fun. And I don't feel particularly great about it. I don't
sure.
love it.
Yeah.
But like, I like being so feminine. People question whether or not I'm a woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, my goal with it.
Sure.
And so I'm still, like, doing stand-up with it, but also doing, like, a little bit of burlesque and, like, a little bit of, like, comedy and, like, just, like, standard, like, drag, like, lip syncs and stuff. I'm
that's
making
cool.
more money than I did in comedy, so that's nice.
There's no money in comedy.
There's really not, and it's... Ugh. Yeah, but it's fun. Yeah, I like it. So I'm doing that more than regular stand-up. But
I think you just need to find what works for you.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Just it. I'm just kind of feeling it all out. And the drag thing's all very new. And
totally. And clowning is not for everyone. I fucking love clowning.
And like, I hate it so much.
Like, watching it?
Depends who it is.
I froth a good clown. I love it so much.
I saw some horrible clowning in Adelaide. Bad clowning is some of the, like, I was actually angry when I left.
I walked out of the show
and I was like kicking signs on the street and like, I can't fucking believe I was in there for a whole, mad.
Yeah.
But then also, like, I was saying, just some friends of mine, were here in Melbourne doing shows at the Butterfly Club, and they do a show called Scotland, and they are so funny. And like, watching them perform, I'm like, they're happy to be there.
Yeah.
They all like get along really well. They've got great chemistry as a group. And then the other show that one of them does was like a David Attenborough show. And that was also just same so thing. Good. Yeah, David Attenborough is animals. Ugh. One of them is David Attenborough. One is all the animals.
That's awesome. Love
that. And it's just like, it's that. Joyous. Yeah. Like, there's actual joy in it. Yes.
Okay.
And
that is the clowning that I'm okay with.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was just like fun to watch. They're having fun. You're having fun. It's silly and ridiculous. Ridiculous,
it's literally,
and everyone's
like,
it's
like almost kid energy for adults.
Yeah, and it
so
was
like
beautiful.
It's not necessarily like child's like content, but
like watching Jess so be good. Like a crab, and she's like making like little crab faces, and then at one point, like, the two of them were an octopus at the same time. Like, one was right. Like, they were both like wiggling their arms, and like one kind of did like at an angle, and they were as one person like an octopus, and like
love
it was
that.
So funny and so great, and I was like, this is fucking brilliant.
Yes.
Yeah. But then also, bad clown has made me like want to punch a stranger.
That's what I mean. It's like anything.
100%. I like, felt both of those feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my God. But I think 100%.
It's like anything in comedy. Like, when it's done well.
Sure.
Exactly. Yeah. Bad stand-up is fucking...
I guess I'm more
panic
used
in me more than it does anger. Yeah. I don't know why, but when I see really bad stand up, I have this like panicky feeling of like, I need to leave this room.
Oh yeah.
I have to get the fuck out of here.
Oh, I'm itchy all of a sudden.
Oh no. I've
seen so much bad stand up because like I run an open mic, so obviously I have, and I still get that feeling sometimes. If something's that like, I'm just like, I have to go.
Well,
now.
There's something about the open mics here that, because like it's a bigger scene, and there's more of it, and there's more people doing it. That isn't the same as an open mic in San Diego, because it's I don't know any of these people. And so like, I dropped by the open mic at the Imperial with you guys the other night, and I was like just kind of hanging out, and I was like, it's been so long since I've sat and watched an open mic that's like that I was like actually sort of enjoying how fucked it was.
Just like to point out that it's only the second half of the second bracket that's fucked.
No, and it's and not everyone was. There was just like a handful of, you know, it's just like any open mic is going to be. Like, there was a handful of people where I was like, whoa.
This is a risk I take every week when I put on names that I do not know.
Yeah, and there's people, like some of it, there was like some amazing things that happened, but then also there's just like, you know.
You missed, we finished the night on a guy that I'd never heard of, and I can't remember his name right now, but he was like a one-liner comic, and... Like, I don't know how many times he's done this, but I fucking loved it.
Was he great?
It was so good. He made a couple of like, maybe a bit, but like,
to be expected.
90% of the stuff that I was just like, fuck, this is good. Like,
also had a 70-year-old.
Oh
my
God. Wasn't that?
I'm living in the 70s. Like,
I don't think we can sing it though, because it's her song.
It's her song, but fuck, it was incredible. And I just like how every verse of it just got more insane of like things she's doing now that she's in her 70s and doesn't like give a fuck anymore. Like,
she was literally a 70-year-old lady doing song parodies.
She was
so
like,
good.
She's like, but you're all pretty young. Probably won't know the songs, but here we go. And like, one song is about how all her friends are dead.
Yeah.
She actually, this is the best part of that night, I reckon. After the show, when she was walking out, I hosted the show and I was like, hey, man, like, that was sick. Like,
we loved it.
It was so good.
I loved that. And she's like, yeah, like, thank you so much. I'm actually from Sydney. And most of the time I perform it to my friends. So they're like, you know, 65 plus. So, you know, that first song. And I was like, yeah, the one about your friends being dead.
Yeah.
This like, yeah, the line was basically they were like getting buried or whatever.
Yeah.
And she was like, I was really excited to come here tonight because I knew the crowd would be younger. Yeah. And like, I hoped that like I could see if it was funny because I can't do it in front of my friends because like, that'd get really like, upset about it. And I'm like, that is fucking so good.
She's like, I've got this gear. I can't try it out on my friends. Yeah. Holy shit. She's one of us. She's one of us. I love it.
Yeah. That was great. I had a great time with that.
We played her walk off music. We ended up putting the song and played that. And she came up to me afterwards and she was like, thank you. That made my night. And I was like,
Yeah, I was just I adored it. But yeah, like not being able to see lots of open mics anymore.
Yeah.
That in the San Diego, it's a totally different vibe because it's a much smaller scene, so it's kind of just like the same like nine people.
Was it like if you go and do open mic in like Adelaide or something?
Oh, of course. Yeah. Exactly. It's much the San Diego comedy scene size-wise at least is probably, and I don't know anything about the local scene in Adelaide because I'm only over there for the Fringe.
Sure.
It seems like it's very much like a Adelaide Melbourne sort of kind of relationship.
Yep. LA.
Yeah, with LA. So they're just a lot closer together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you find yourself gigging in LA much or not really?
A bit. Yeah. Not a ton though. It's mostly like you've got to kind of organize. The open mic thing in LA is fucking nuts.
Yeah. Mm.
It's like a lot of times you have to pay to perform.
I was going
to
say they're paid or bringer.
But they aren't paid, but they're like, you have to spend at least $5 at the cafe. So you're all right, I guess I'll get like a coffee and I'm not hungry, but I don't want four coffees. Banana muffin. Is that $5? And they're like, it's $4.80. And you're like, Jesus. I don't know what costs 50 cents and they're like a packet of honey and you're like, great, fucking put it on.
Do you have to show your receipt or what?
Yeah, like the person behind the counter is the one in charge of like the list.
Oh my god.
And they like will put a star next to, like, has the list and will like, because you can like 3 minutes if you don't buy anything and you get like
what
5 minutes.
Fuck?
Yeah, five minutes if you do. Yeah. There's a few in LA that are like that. Like
That's insane.
There was one I did that was at, it was up in the roof, like not the roof, but like up in the like attic sort of upstairs area of a Chinese food restaurant in Los Feliz.
And
they do shows there and they're great, like weird, like you just like see this list and you're like, what the fuck is Maria Bamford doing upstairs from a Chinese food? Or like they get really great people, at least they used to, I don't know if they still do, but, and it's like, this room is packed. There's like 65 people in it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, for an open mic, this is fucking sick. Like, and it's a bucket. And they're just drawing names at random out of the bucket in order. And you go, sick, let's do this. But then very quickly you realize like people are just like swanning in.
Yeah.
Like halfway through the bucket selection and being like, oh, hey, man. They're like, I took a tender, like chatting. And he's like, cool, cool, cool. And then you can see him just like, just put like a little like carrot and just like add someone's name. And you're like, oh, this fucking. And then he's like putting names and going, no. And like, doing like the wink and putting people like putting a name back in the bucket and picking and looking for like his friends' names. And then I'm like, okay, so the first 15 people on this show are going to have are going to have the best time because this is a packed room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where I was, because no one knew who I was at this, like no one, I didn't have any friends at that mic or anything. I know the guy who ran it was like in the end when there's like four people, they've been there for 3 hours and they're like, like everyone's tired. It's 1 a.m.
That's crazy.
And you do like 5 of those a night.
This is is why, because there's a few rooms in Melbourne that put every act on, and like everyone who signs up gets on. And I,
if you can do that, that's great. But like, for fuck's sake, this guy got like 35, 40 people, 50 people on, and like
no one can do that. That's not a like that. Everyone gets exactly, but everyone gets. Everyone gets up, but the quality of your 5 minutes is shit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. Like, yeah. If you're 40th on, you're not getting anything out of that.
Yeah. You can't be.
Well, I remember just like walking out of that mic and being like, there's no point. Like I didn't gain anything.
No.
That.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what did you literally lost 3 hours.
Yeah, exactly. I just watched a bunch of other open mic comedians in LA. That's all I did.
Yeah.
I, yeah.
Fine.
Yeah, I got to see who were the cool guys on the LA open mic scene.
Yeah,
that got to cut the line. Cool. Like that was it. But yeah, and then you're expected to do a bunch of those a night.
Yeah.
God.
Wow.
Otherwise, you're not gigging hard enough.
Oh.
And New York is worse.
I was gonna say I've heard
York is worse. But at this point, I have enough friends in New York that run shows and do that. Well, they're all moving to LA, so
that's good though.
They're all moving to LA, but I'm moving to New York, so.
Oh. Yeah. That's a shame.
Yeah. We're moving in. It won't be for like another year, but yeah, at this point, there's like four people left in New York. Everyone has gotten successful enough and moved to LA.
So LA is still the end goal.
I guess. It's not for me. I don't want to. But they're all like writing on TV and shit.
I was going to say, it's all TV writing and stuff. Yeah, of course.
TV and movies and shit. So yeah. It's like, I'm happy for you, but.
You can't help me out now.
For fuck's sake, Henry. Like, I don't. You can't help me out on like fucked gigs anymore. Yeah.
What's the point of knowing you anymore? Yeah.
Now I'm just, I've just got it's about 3 or 4 people left in New York. To try and get gigs via, but.
Well, yeah. I guess, but the longer you're there, the more people you know anyway. Of course,
it builds up and stuff, but.
Maybe not the first, few months you're there, but then after 6 months, you'll be one of the cool kids.
Yeah, exactly. You try. Yeah. You just don't have to do the open mics. That's the thing. I'm hoping to be able to circumvent the open mic.
Yeah.
And just do book stuff.
And or do only a couple of open mics here and there and just maybe kind of just do as many book things as I can.
Yeah.
If I can come in strong.
Yeah.
Come in strong and do that.
Because I was talking to a goal.
It's like, fuck, I've been doing this for like 7 years now. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I was talking to a comedian who came up in Perth and did quite well in Perth and then moved to Melbourne and had to like just
do the hustle
start it all again. Yeah. And he's now doing very well here and like is now living off comedy and everything like that. Yeah. But like, he was like, I was thinking about going to New York, but I just can't do it again.
Yeah.
I just can't do it again.
That's the fear that I have.
It's a legitimate fear.
Yeah. The idea of moving to a different city and doing comedy there would be kind of cool. I'm like, yeah, I could get around that.
Yeah.
I want to do a gig at the Apollo. And so I'm like, maybe England, maybe London. That's where I go.
Yeah.
But I could do that as an Australian comedian that just like tours the UK.
Of course.
So
I think at this point you'd be able to get on really good gigs in London, right? Like, because I mean, think about all the people you know that live there. That's the thing. It's like,
yeah, true.
Yeah. Like, there's so many people that I know that have moved to London.
True.
Where I'm like, man, if I can get visa shit to work out,
yeah,
that would be way great. Yeah, New York. Like, yeah. I'd love to live in London. Yeah. But
what is fueling your move to New York?
My partner, hopefully will be getting a job in there's job potential and stuff, and that's all still in the air. I've just always like kind of known that I'd end up living in New York. Like, it'll be likely my last big move. So I've danced around it for a while, but.
Cause you're like, I'm not going anywhere after this.
Yeah.
This
is my forever move. I think that once I go, I'll be there for maybe ever. And if not forever, for a very long time.
Sure.
Yeah. Like, it'll be a big long thing, and we just I've been in San Diego too long. It's nice if you are interested in like going to the beach and hiking and having kids.
That feels
San
like Diego, what you're up to. Yeah, seems all
the
stuff that
best
you love
for that. Like, the schools are great, and there's lots of mountains, and there's lots of beaches, and I'm like, I am extremely fair. I don't want kids, and I like camping, but.
Not every week.
Not hiking to the camp spot.
Yeah, but also like hiking in San Diego is just like, we're just kind of just walking. And like,
right.
And like, yeah. Also that feeling of like when you're saying you're like, I can't take another step. I went to the Botanical Gardens in Adelaide, like out by Mount Lofty.
Yep.
And we went with like a handful of us. We all drove out and it was like a bunch of comedians. And we had a great time until we had going down into like the valley and then having to come back up and get to the top. There was a point where I was like, I just can't. And the whole group is like way ahead. And I'm like, I'm so out of shape. I'm so sorry. And I'm looking like all six people are like, what are you doing? And I'm like, dying. I'm very tired. Yeah. But
just leave me. Go on without me.
Yeah. The good hiking is difficult.
Yeah.
And I can't do it. So.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We have reached the section of the show.
Yeah.
That is called Hypothetically Yes.
Oh, yes. But I remember.
Yes. It was a long time ago. But Ariella, I was thinking, because it's your second time on the podcast, maybe we could flip the script.
Oh, fuck.
And if you wanted to, if you could think of one on the fly, though I've literally just told you this right now, you could ask Vicky or Vicky and I a hypothetical question. It doesn't even need to be based on our chats if you don't want it to be.
Oh my God.
Or
last time we did that,
it
ended horribly with Ben Knight.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, did Ben Knight bring something really gross into
it? Yeah, he did.
Bring it up again.
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. I'm not surprised Ben Knight would do that.
Yeah.
It's true.
Two, Changing what I was just thinking of. So
imagine like the same.
It was gonna be something like a dicks for fingers or fingers like for your genitals. Like that was something really gross.
God.
I'm so bad at on the fly things that aren't just like ripped off of from like Reddit or something. I'm so bad. Hypothetical. Ooh.
I can probably come up with one for you again if you want.
Yeah, if I can think of something in the meantime, I will hit you back with it. But, okay. But yeah, let's do your
shtick. Would you rather everyone you know moving to LA from New York
or
doesn't move?
Right.
And they stay in New York.
Oh, yeah.
Or they... Wait, that? So they all stay in New York and they don't move to LA, but you have dicks for fingers. Or they do what they're doing and they move to LA, but your fingers are fine.
Oh man, that's so brutal. Because LA sucks so bad, but I don't know if it sucks worse than having dick fingers. Oh man, would they just be floppy until I was excited? Oh,
and then, then they just all go hard. And that's the only time you can actually do anything.
So like, I can't do anything.
You have to like sexually awaken yourself to do anything. You just have to be like, my God. Hey, maybe you'd have to.
You just have to have like your preferred choice of pornography on demand all the time, just ready to go.
Yeah, it's called a phone.
Yeah.
Right. But you couldn't open it without your...
Yeah, that's true. You can't open it with
my nose
yeah.
on my iPhone. Yeah, I guess everyone's moving to LA. everyone's moving to LA and I'm moving too. I don't know. Even though it wasn't a part of it, but yeah, everyone, yeah, no. They can keep going to LA. I like having fingers, not dick fingers.
Imagine
the gloves you'd have to wear. You wouldn't be able to be around children.
That's true.
Not that I particularly like being around children, but just incidentally.
You've done nanny work and stuff like that. You wouldn't be able to do that.
But also just like in public.
Also, that means like incidentally, like in life.
Oh, God.
Yeah, they're all hard. Like, I'm just trying to use my phone.
There's like 9 kids on the tram on the way here.
I would have count them with my dicks.
Yes. I would have gone to jail. Pointing at a kid, I was like, "Watch it!" And oh no, it would have been awful.
Oh God,
it would have been so bad. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, no, fair enough. That seems like a reasonable answer.
Yeah,
yeah.
I reckon that was pretty easy to.
Oh God, it was like what be... some quality entertainment though. So
yeah, just a lot of horrible visuals.
Yeah, I'm. Yeah, I don't want to.
My favorite.
So why am I closing my eyes? That was not okay.
You're closing your eyes to imagine it more.
Oh, yeah. Just
really
wanted to see it.
To it.
Yeah. All right. Well, I was going to say one final question, but we've already asked you the one question. So I'm going to have another question.
Great.
And this won't be timely when this has actually come out, but I want to know, what are your thoughts on Captain Marvel?
Haven't seen it yet because I've been here since it came out and I'm movies are so fucking expensive here.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
It's insanity and I'm too busy / poor to see movies in Australia. I've booked in. I've told my partner, I texted him. I was like, all right, I want Korean barbecue when I get home and wings like buffalo wings.
Mm.
There's one fucked bar that does both, and great. I think I'm going to try to organize us to go to dinner when I get home, and then we're going to go see Us, Peele one, and then see Captain Marvel.
Apart from the fact that it's a horror movie,
I'm so stoked for it.
Yeah.
I'm so stoked for it.
Yeah?
But we're going to see both. We're going to see Captain Marvel and Us. It's great. Like, just do like a... And we'll see
back
how
to back.
Yeah, see them back to back, just do like a movie day, because it's... The weather's super fucked at home at the moment anyway, so...
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm stoked about Captain Marvel because it's making all of the worst people real mad.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, I don't even know what the quality movie. I've heard it's very good. I've heard a lot of good things.
I quite
about
liked it. Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it too.
Yeah, I've heard it was quite good. I'm sure it is. Marvel's pretty solid on most stuff.
Yeah, but, yeah. They've had a most of the stuff is fine.
Yeah, most of the stuff's pretty good. I'm just loving that. Yeah, the worst people ever.
So mad.
Are so mad, and that's worth.
Mm-hmm.
That's worth all of my money.
Correct.
Thank you so much. It has been another episode of Vic and Em's Comedy Gems. Ariel Conversi, absolute legend. Thank you so much
for having me there.
Thank you.
Bye.
This
podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.